This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We're looking to have a really, really great show today. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive at 2006 North Main Street in Shebaville, Tennessee. And you can reach them at 1-800-264-6800, toll free. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, and you just really got it in mind that you really want to trade the one that you've got now, take a drive about 20-25 minutes down towards Shevel. It's on the left just before you get in. Go in and talk to the really nice people that they've got there, and I'll guarantee you they'll find just the vehicle that you would love to have. And after you've talked to them another 25 or 30 more minutes, I guarantee you'll be driving back toward Murfreesboro with a brand new vehicle. And if you'd like to pull up the inventory, pull up PirtleHowerton.com. PirtleHowerton.com. In fact, you know Mark, don't you, Ron?
Yes, I do.
And I'm talking to Ron Fryer, of course.
Sure do.
And I have Dan Whittle with me also.
Stop the presses.
Yes. What is it about Mac Minville in Warren County that produces so many people who go outside their area and become so successful in the Middle Tennessee area?
You know, that's a good question, and I really don't have an answer for it because, of course, I went the other direction. I went from Murfreesboro to Warren County.
Right.
But the relationship and the contacts between Mac Minville and Murfreesboro are very long and very deep. They go back several years. The Pirtles you mentioned, Jimmy Earl, of course, is another one. Dr. Joe Nunley.
Mm-hmm.
And the catalyst is MTSU. That ties a lot of it together. And
it
Old
does.
Smyrna Airport brought a lot of talent.
But as you were listening, Ron, as all of those quality people were leaving Warren County, he headed back to raise the bar back up to where it should have stayed to start with.
And that's his story, and he's going to stick with it, too.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And he has a lot of great stories. And one of the things that, you know, I was going to have lunch with Dan today over at Demas's.
What happened there?
As I got there, you guys were coming out. Everybody had already eaten. But Dan was nice enough to stay and let me buy his lunch again, and I really appreciate that. Had some really great stories. He lets me in on the inside things that are going on.
Yeah.
And you guys were there for a special purpose today.
That's right, and Dan's usually pretty good about letting the cat out of the bag, sometimes when he's not supposed to. But
right.
But nonetheless, we had a meeting. We've been working very, very quietly and very diligently for about 18 months now to put together a Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame that would recognize and honor members of what's now called the media, both the broadcast, print, that would include electric media. It would be journalists or anybody that has really made a significant contribution in this particular field in the course of their life.
What about talk show hosts?
If they're good writers.
Okay. So, but anyway, I've only got to do this two times, and I was in newspapers 45 years, and I got to do it two times. Stop the presses. We got another big news thing to announce today.
Well, let's wait till we get through with this.
I'm excited. I'm
I know
today.
You are, and sometimes you just have to pull the reins in a little
bit. Okay.
All right. On the Hall of Fame thing, how are you going to go about getting the names in? Where are you going to pull it? What pool are you going to pull it from?
Well, we have quite a bit of time. The official announcement of the Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame probably will not be made until January.
Mm-hmm.
But initially, we have partnered with Middle Tennessee State University with their new media center that they will unveil in January to host and hold probably a digital display of the members that are elected to the Hall of Fame. It is a statewide. It's not just a Middle Tennessee State or a Middle Tennessee phenomenon. It's going to be a statewide Hall of Fame. Long overdue, much needed for recognition. I mean, we've had a lot of really good newspaper people, good broadcasters, mm-hmm. Come through either born in Tennessee and gone someplace else mm-hmm. and made a name for themselves and for the industry, or born someplace else and come to Tennessee and stay mm-hmm. and make a name. So we're looking forward to that. There'll be a process that'll take place that we'll have a selection committee that will seek nominations.
From, where will you select them from?
Throughout the state.
We'll okay. put the but word they out. will be in journalism or in the media?
Any part of the media as it's coined now.
Okay.
Obviously, down the road with the advent of social media and the advent of what's going on at the journalism schools and mass comm departments, it's going to change and take on many different faces. Mm-hmm. But initially, it will be traditional. In mm-hmm. the way, because there are so many that you have that really need to be recognized. And later in the spring, we'll have a Hall of Fame induction, probably a luncheon mm-hmm. hosted on campus, and then we will grow it from there. But we're looking for nominations from those parts of East, Middle, and mm-hmm. West Tennessee on anybody that's had a really good career mm-hmm. in the field of journalism or journalism related.
How far will you go back? Because, you know, there's a lot of us that are my age and even older than me that remember some really, really great newspaper people. Well, of course, TV wasn't really around much when we were just getting started. But especially the newspaper people back right. then, I mean, they were just... we were talking earlier today about Fred Russell and Raymond Johnson and so many of the others, Grantland Rice, who, of course, was prominent around here.
From Murfreesboro.
And they're going to be forgotten as time goes by. And really, there's just a few of us left that still remember them.
Hopefully, because of starting this Hall of Fame, they won't be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
We will more than likely look to induct members that have passed on, mm-hmm. As well as recognizing those that are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
The Tennessee Press Association currently has a newspaper Hall of Fame that's been in existence for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the primary criteria there is that you have to be dead 5 years to be considered to get into the Hall of Fame, the newspaper Hall of Fame.
So you don't really look forward to getting
in. No, I don't
right
have
quick.
Any of my friends whatsoever yeah. campaigning and lobbying yeah. for induction mm-hmm. right now. So this will, we will more than likely look, and the selection committee will take into consideration mm-hmm. not only nominations, but even some from their own knowledge of people that are well-deserving, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, the Grantland Rices, the mm-hmm.
Red O'Donnell,
John Bibb. There's all kinds of people that mm-hmm. are very well-known around this area, as well as we'll be looking for those out of Knoxville and Nashville and West Tennessee, Memphis, mm-hmm. and so forth. Anybody that has had a contribution to journalism from either Tennessee or from outside in, no matter where they went, would be considered for this. I know that there's an individual in East Tennessee that has worked years with the New York Times and mm-hmm. has authored a couple of books that would certainly be considered.
I'm certainly glad that you're doing that. I think that's something that should have been done a long time ago, and I'm glad you're taking the reins and running with it.
Well, I'm not. Excuse me, Dan, but this actually, Dan and Hooper Pennell came up with the concept
wow.
and came to
I'm
me.
Impressed. Yeah.
And I kind of decided that I thought it was well worth it, would lend my time and effort. Larry Burris is the mm-hmm. The president of the Board of Trust. We have a Board of Trustees. We do have a 501c3. So it's set up legitimately and legally, and even with some of the individuals such as Dan, it's still ethically and morally mm-hmm. correct as well. So,
the beauty part of it is that the mass comm program at MTSU mm-hmm. is known worldwide now. And for us to be housed there and embraced and graced there
mm-hmm.
it gives our Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame a lot of credibility from the get-go. So it's a marriage that just works well for our industry.
It surely does. Dr. Moore has been very, very gracious. And, of course, we wouldn't be able to do any of this without Dr. Moore and Dr. Sidney McPhee mm-hmm. being able to work with us. It's going to be first class. And MTSU, the College of Mass Communication, has 2,400 students, and it's the fourth largest in the country.
Bigger than some total colleges.
I'm really shocked at that. I didn't realize that there would be that many people seeking journalism.
And actually, there's my last knowledge, as of last fall, a year ago, there was 700 of those 2,400 that were, in fact, journalism students. Mm-hmm. So writing is not dead.
When I was in Germany, people mentioned this mass communications program at MTSU. Romania, they mentioned it. So it's known worldwide.
When you're talking about mass comm over here, a lot of times people will think about television and some of the other medias, but really the heart and soul of it is still a journalism that aims toward the press, right?
Well, it's multifaceted. You know, your recording industry is tremendous as far as that part of the college is concerned. My daughter's a broadcast journalism major,
and really, really good. I mean, she is very bright.
And but she has to know the written word too to be able to write her scripts to be able to put on the broadcast. So it's so interchangeable. The social media is becoming a much bigger part of the teaching, but actual writing skills in addition to the recording industry management is very important.
Can't get away from the writers. You got to have writers.
I noticed that Brian Barrett just passed through. He didn't want to be seen, of course, and he's got his mass comm degree from Middle Tennessee State, which he is very proud of.
Well, he should be.
And we're very proud of him. I tell you what, we're really fortunate to have some of the really good people that we have here in this community, and Brian's one of them. I've seen firsthand what he means to the community, and especially and to WGNS. I mean, he really works hard, and people like that that just throw their whole self into something like that, and they really try to strive to make sure that the community is aware of so many things.
He's a community journalist. That's an old slogan. Maybe sounds like we're dinosaurs, and in a way that is, but he is a community journalist. And
we've talked before, Truman, on your show about writing and journalism and newspapers and so forth. You know, there probably will be at some point in time different mediums in which to deliver news, but there's still no substitute for the written word.
There never will be.
Never will be. So, you know, when you take that into consideration and you look at what we call refrigerator journalism, names and faces and local news and local happenings and things that are going on that you can't get anyplace else, then you have to still have somebody that can put that information together and do it in a proper form. So writing is still it's the same it's always been. It's still very basic.
All right, you're talking about proper form, and then we put proper form and creativity together, and sometimes it doesn't always turn out to be proper form. And one of our most successful newspapers in the Middle Tennessee area, of course, is the Cannon Courier, the Cannon County Courier. And I was noticing that this last week, there is a really, really great article by Dan Whittle, and it's Whittle's Words of Wisdom, and he's talking about the family shack, the Cadillac shack out back. Now, did he get that through without your knowledge, or how did that make the paper?
In most instances, this is the way that I handle that. If you've read something that you don't like, I didn't have anything to do with it. If you read something that you really thought was very good, I just want to thank you for reading the paper.
You left out distasteful.
No, this was one that I knew. I thought it had such a good rural flavor to it, the angle of it, the outhouse, and you know, in researching some of his work on this and trying to find a piece of art, go back. They actually have on websites outhouses and different designs and decorations of the modern day yard decorative outhouse that you can put in your backyard.
That was a very traumatic time of my life back in childhood.
Oh, I'm sure it was. But you know, people that are our age and maybe even a little younger, they remember those times because outhouses were very important in each neighborhood back when we were growing up. And what was the you're talking about the Cadillac shack out back, and then you started talking about the commode lids.
Well, my dad, in the winter, we were farmers.
Yes.
And in the wintertime, Dad would tear down houses in nearby Sykeston, Missouri, a bigger town. And we knew that he was working for this one Catholic family. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the time that he chose to bring home two fancy, slick-looking commode lids. Mm-hmm. So being a little country Baptist children, we assumed that they were Catholic commode lids. Mm-hmm. And he let us think that. Well, the whole town started laughing at our expense, but they would actually come out and to look at our smooth-sitting Catholic commode lids. It's a true story. Not that all of my stories aren't true.
Yeah, it's amazing how back then in some areas, to reach a certain social level, you had to raise up certain things, and I guess the commode lid was one of them.
Or in the case of this column, lower to certain levels as well.
Well, it's a perspective thing. Yes. Yeah, it could be raised or lowered.
And I normally don't push, you know, another media's, where it's paper or TV or whatever. But on the Cannon County Courier, September the 27th, page 4, you've got to pull that up. And what a great picture. And that reminds me of one of the old outhouses that we had. And, yeah. And did you do that, Ron?
We found it.
You found it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a great picture. But it is, if you want to read something that's humorous and historic and all of that together, I mean, it was really a great article.
Did he say historic or hysteric?
I will say this. If we don't get too much negative feedback, we might reprise that and run that in the Post in the coming few weeks. Mm-hmm. So if they missed it in the Courier, they'll be sure and pick up a copy of the Post.
I want to compliment you on this last week's Post, because it was really a lot of great articles. And of course, you focused on Bart Walker,
right?
And him going through the little a few weeks of problems that he had health-wise, and he has bounced back. He's healthy as a horse now, and did such a great job in alerting the public. And I know that Bart really reached down and wanted to make sure that people, if they see certain signs, and we're talking about that are heart-related, they need to be aware of them and react to them a little bit quicker than what he said he did. I mean, he was... He's one of these people that's just driven to keep on trudging along, and like he said, he didn't listen. And
well, there's a certain way of being rudely awakened, mm-hmm. and I think that's captured in the story. Michelle Willard wrote the story, our editor, and did a superb job. Bart is so easy to converse with, and so passionate about what he feels. Mm-hmm. In telling his story, he's one of the true individuals that makes it a pleasure to have inner relationships within the media, mm-hmm. to where it's not because you're with the radio or because you're with this newspaper or because you're with that, then we're automatically opposed to each other. That's not the case. He's very, very, very good at what he does, and we're very privileged to have him with GNS, and we're delighted to do the story on him and honoring him for being the head of the Heart Walk.
And he's a real class act. I've known Bart for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people, you don't really get to know them by meeting them, but you do him. I mean, Bart is always the same, and he's always himself. And he's always pushing. So he kind of reminds me of the media Tommy Martin. I mean, he is public relations. Yes. And it's all the way down the line. You don't see Bart getting caught up in negative things at all. I mean, he paints a great picture no matter where he goes.
I had the open heart surgery in February. Medical miracles is what mm-hmm. we're talking about. And they put a new valve in for me, they said it's going to be a cow valve. Mm-hmm. Well, I asked for a bull, but mm-hmm. I think they made a steer out of me, but... You know, just a small point there.
Well, you know,
Truman.
Cows.
It's your
female.
Show, Truman. Take
cows
over.
Female. That's not a steer.
Okay.
Well, it's really interesting because once you've gone down this road, I had my heart attack 10 and a half years ago and didn't have to have a bypass. But it's like you know now. Mm-hmm. You don't ever really know until it happens to you, because it's always somebody else.
Do you think about it a lot?
No, it certainly is there with you on how you feel. Mm-hmm. You know, certain little aches or pains or twists or indigestion or whatever certainly mm-hmm. makes you a little bit more aware of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff Jordan just went through four bypasses.
And doing well, doing really well.
Doing well. And so, you know, I'm a member of the Stent Club. Mm-hmm. I guess that could be the Stent Club for men. And, of course, Dan and Bart and Jeff are now, they're a member of the Bypass Club. Mm-hmm. So, but there's the camaraderie still. Once you've had a heart attack and once you've been there and felt it, then you have a better appreciation for the health care that we get nowadays and how quickly they can respond and help you.
But, you know, it's a man thing. No matter what you look at, men think that they're...
Invincible.
They really do. And if it's something that takes you to your knees, it's just something that minor. I'll get over it. And that is normal.
It is.
I'm constantly amazed how we're not as smart as the ladies.
Yeah.
If they have something that's going on with them, they're going to react to it.
Well, I've noticed you and Ron, you know, I've known y'all for years, and I've noticed how hard-headed y'all are.
Oh, no. I found out this last weekend I was not hard-headed.
You're not?
No.
What did you do? I heard
about that. Oh, I've already told you. I've had about 500 calls at home. I made the mistake of running into the Dempsey dumpster over on West Main Street.
I don't think I'd have told that one, brother.
Well, but when Ron was relating to the health care, I drove myself straight over to the hospital, the emergency room, and they took me right in, sewed me up. I was out of there in 10 minutes. It was amazing.
Great.
And I was just so happy. I mean, everybody's worries about having to go to a hospital or something like that.
That's another thing about community journalism. We are blessed as a medical community here because we have some of the top flight young and mature doctors at both hospitals, mm-hmm. and a lot of research is going on here, and we're becoming a medical center.
Yeah, and well deserved too.
And we are,
I mean, we've had a lot of physicians in the history of this area right here have been part of that, bringing it on to us, and we do not want to not mention them.
Sure.
But
what color was that dumpster?
Green.
Okay.
I think. No, the part that I hit was yellow.
Was yellow?
Yeah, the part I hit was yellow.
You remember it now, but you didn't see it then?
Well, I was looking down, and I was thinking, do you ever just walk along in thought and not aware of what's going on around you?
Constantly.
Yeah, well, that's what I was doing.
Okay. Wasn't looking for money around the dumpster.
No. Okay. And this is going to be a big week coming up. We're talking about October the 2nd through October the 8th.
Can I say it now?
Yes.
Stop the presses.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
All right.
October 2nd to 8th is National Newspaper Week.
Mm-hmm.
It comes around every year, and it takes an opportunity where we kind of pat ourselves on the back a little bit and pump our chest and thank our employees and our writers, and especially our delivery people and those that print the paper and everybody involved in the process. So the National Newspaper Association once a year sets aside the first week, full week in October, is National Newspaper Week, and that's coming up starting on Monday.
And I guess you'll probably bring everybody in and bring in a projector and play Citizen Kane and pop popcorn for everybody. And then after that runs, you'll do The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance and bring up about the Shin Bone Star and that.
Yeah, we bring in some of those old reels, really important reels.
So. You kid about that, but that is a part of newspaper heritage, is that particular movie, and what was the other one, Kane?
Citizen Kane.
That's ingrained in our folklore of Americana journalism.
And newspaper. Supposedly that was based on whose life? Hearst.
Hearst.
William Randolph Hearst.
Yes.
And it's talking about the impact of newspapers. It was Hearst who made the phenomena, and this is true, that started Billy Graham and the evangelist. He ordered all of his newspapers across America to embrace him. And that was the start of the great Billy Graham Crusades.
I always thought it was fascinating. And a little bit off this, more on the comic strip side, but, you know, Superman as Clark Kent worked at the Daily Planet.
Mm-hmm. Now, y'all call me Clark Spent. That's what that was a takeoff on, right?
That's what some of them took it off on. So.
Okay.
And then, of course, in Spider-Man, Peter Parker was the nemesis of Jameson, the editor who was out to find out who he was. So newspapers have been interwoven both in film, in comics, in television. So
But they weren't always kind to the editors and people in newspaper.
No.
Poor old Perry White. I mean, he caught it the whole time he was there.
Yes. He dished it, too.
Yeah, he did dish it. But they were thought about to be really tough guys. I mean, of course, it's not like it is today. I mean, those people back there didn't make a whole lot of money.
Right.
And of course, y'all have changed that.
We've raised it as far as we can raise it to date.
Ron has another big announcement we're awfully proud of.
Well, you know, it's not necessarily because of National Newspaper Week, but kind of coincidental with that. We've been looking and listening to people in the community and looking for opportunities at the Murfreesboro Post. And mm-hmm. so beginning on October 6th, we will now come out twice a week. We'll have our regular Sunday issue with the delivery system the way that it is, and we'll come out now on Thursday mornings mm-hmm. with a second edition of a second weekly edition of the Post. This one will be focused primarily on the single copy rack and stack issues.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, the delivery on Sunday would remain the same. The Thursday issue will be a little bit more than half the normal distribution,
mm-hmm.
But will be initially not home delivered. It will mm-hmm. be at new, we're picking up new delivery points, rack points, box points, mm-hmm. Dealer locations, so to speak, that we're going to be putting the paper out. We're very excited about it. We've been encouraged to do this by members of the business community mm-hmm. and by our readers. And then as we move on and tell other people what we're attempting to do, they give us enthusiasm over their excitement about the opportunity now to get the Post twice a week.
Now, what about people like me who live outside the Murfreesboro area in the county? And we currently cannot get the Post, which I absolutely love to read it. And are you going to be able to expand? I know you were talking about that some.
Yes.
In what you were saying.
What we're doing now is looking in the zip codes on the periphery of the city of Murfreesboro and out into the non-city areas to try mm-hmm. to locate more convenience stores, more drop points, delivery points, so that even though it might not be delivered to your home, mm-hmm. it will be in a larger delivery zone that you have better accessibility to pick up a standing copy mm-hmm. of both of the issues.
Of course, it comes out on Sunday.
Right.
And a lot of the restaurants in the county are full on Sunday.
Right.
Are you going to expand out into those restaurants?
We're looking for those locations
very
now.
Successful.
Right. We're looking and talking with those locations now. We're looking in north, we're looking west, and we're looking east. We fairly well have the south part, which is predominantly the city of Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. Fairly well covered. So we're looking for better distribution points, better access. On Sunday, we put out about 8,000 single copies and home deliver 12 to 13,000. With this issue, we'll put out 10 to 12,000 single copies. So we're upping it by 30%. And coming out on Thursday, this particular issue will be focused for the weekend. We'll be able to get in news that's happened that we haven't been able to wait but a week to do before. So we'll have good 3-day shelf lives for both publications. What's been really phenomenal about this, Truman, is the Sunday issue is usually gone out of all the pickup points by Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 8,000 copies are picked up. That means that we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday going back into the next Sunday that we could put updated news, updated features, more of what we've been doing into a second roll up and put it out. A
lot of entertainment news, entertainment opportunities for the families mm-hmm. and this sort of thing.
Right.
So you're selecting the areas that have a lot of traffic in them, the more popular restaurants and things like that.
That's correct.
As far as that's where they're going to go.
That's correct. Well, anybody that would be wanting to have papers mm-hmm. delivered from 5 to 10 to 50 to 200.
Mm-hmm.
All they have to do is give us a call, and we'll be glad to come out and set them up on a delivery route and bring papers to them.
At what point, say you're going to be going to a 2-day mm-hmm. A week paper,
right.
which is going to be, I think you said Sunday and Thursday.
Sunday, Thursday.
Okay. At what point will you be looking into to maybe having subscription papers that people would actually have delivered to their homes?
That's a good question, and I don't know if I have a solid answer for it. We would be able to guarantee delivery of subscription now. If somebody mm-hmm. wanted to pay, we'd make sure that you get it. Mm-hmm. What we probably are going to do is with the delivery zones that we now have that's home delivery, taper those to those individuals who truly want the paper, make mm-hmm. sure we're not just hit, missing, and take those papers and pull those back over into another delivery zone. Mm-hmm. And the first step we'd have to do is probably design a new business plan. Mm-hmm. The second step would be looking at a volunteer pay program mm-hmm. so that people who want to receive it could pay if they wished. Mm-hmm. Any amount that they wished or thought it was worth, and it wouldn't be a true subscription-based price, but it would be, if you think it's worth 50 cents a week to get it, then, you know, gracious, we'll take $24 a year or $26 a year for it. If you think it's worth a dollar, we'll take $52.
You can't find a deal like that anywhere else.
It's just whatever the individual would think. There's papers across the country that have been successful with volunteer mm-hmm. pay. We had one with Morris Newspaper Corporation at one time out in California. Mm-hmm. That would probably be the first step mm-hmm. if we were going to take it to a subscription base. So,
okay, at this point, we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And what they do is they go into your home when you no longer are able to take care of all your normal duties, whether it be an illness, you've gotten older, or whatever, and 24/7 they will go in there and make sure that your quality of life still stays the way it was, and you take care of all those worries are gone out of your life, and you can just enjoy life that you deserve to have. And if you are maybe have that particular situation at your home or maybe at your parents' home, give them a call. It's 713-4639 or check out their website at www.athomecaretennessee.com, and you will be glad you did.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
This is Steve Grimsley with Zippy Shell. Are you looking for storage? Perhaps you're preparing your home for sale, downsizing, or just in need of some extra space? Well, then you should give us a call. We offer convenient, affordable storage solutions right here in Rutherford County. We deliver a storage container to you, you pack it, and we'll pick it up and store your goods in our secure facility. We are locally owned and operated. To check out our grand opening specials, give us a call at 216-7879 or visit us at zippyshell.com. Save time, save money, save everything.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
This is Wednesday, September the 28th, and the musical Godspell, tonight through Sunday night at 7 o'clock at the Fellowship United Methodist Church. That's over on Highway 99. This is the 70s off-Broadway hit that's based on the Gospel of Matthew and includes the hit song Day by Day. The musical Godspell, tonight through Sunday night at 7 o'clock. There are also 2 o'clock matinees on Saturday and Sunday. And that's at the Fellowship United Methodist Church at 2511 Highway 99, the New Salem Highway. The AARP Driver Safety Program tomorrow and Friday at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. That's from 8:30 tomorrow morning until 12:30. This is $12 for AARP members and $14 for non-members. Once again, that's over at Middle Tennessee Medical Center tomorrow and Friday from 8:30 in the morning until 12:30 both of those days. A Red Cross blood drive tomorrow from 9 in the morning until 6 tomorrow night at the new Red Cross office. In addition to the regular blood drive, They also have an aphoresis collection from 9 a.m. to 4:45 tomorrow at the Red Cross. And that's at 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce location. Medicare is confusing, and there's a Medicare workshop to help clear things up tomorrow morning at 9:30 over at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. It's absolutely free, but they need to know that you're going to be there. Call the St. Clair Street Senior Center at 848-2550. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Sunny to partly cloudy this afternoon, high in the low 80s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 60. Sunny on Thursday, high near 81. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 79 degrees.
And today's special at Kirk & Burt's is our chicken tender basket. Three hand-breaded tenders and fries for just $3.99. Need an office party or special event catered? Call us at 893-FOOD. This is Tom, and we also deliver in the Kasson Lane area.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
With today's guests, Ron Fryer and Dan Whittle.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you?
Yes, I have had John Blankenship. John Blankenship and friends, Avent Lane and Ken and Sarah Frizzell, Billy Yearwood, and they have one of the best groups that you've ever heard. And they're on at the Readable Mill every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and take a quick ride out John Bragg Highway, about 10-15 minute drive. And you'll see the sign, you'll turn left and go about two more miles. And as you go into that mill, you'll go back in time 200 years. And the building has been completely refurbished by Tom Brady, the owner. And he decided he wanted to do something back for the community and let people come in and really enjoy the atmosphere there. And once you go out there, you will certainly be glad that you did. And you will be a repeat customer. I know I was. And I have a lot of friends that go there, and they're almost there every Saturday morning. And just enjoy the fellowship that you're able to have there and the people. And they're so nice to you. And it's one of the few places that you can go and just relax. Enjoy the river that runs around. And it's the Stone River. It's not the Stones River.
And actually, it is technically in your books and on the resources. Stone's River with an apostrophe S.
Yeah, Stone, his river, Stone's River.
Mm-hmm. And the history, I love that history out
right.
there.
Yeah.
A lot of the newcomers don't know that Reedyville, little tiny Reedyville, never incorporated Reedyville, had electricity long before Murfreesboro did.
Yeah, because Mr. Reedy
the
was
power
able
of the generated at the
dam that came through there, and they also had ice there. They created their own ice.
I didn't know you could cuss on here.
You know what's fascinating about Reedyville? Also,
am I in trouble?
No, I'm just going to pick this one up real quick.
Yeah,
quickly is that Reedyville sits right on the Cannon County Rutherford
right.
County line.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you go down Reedyville Street, the west side is Rutherford County, and the east side is
yeah, I'm very familiar with
Cannon.
That area. Yeah.
So I always thought that was interesting. When I was at the Journal, we would have, back when we used to have audits that were done to verify our circulation, I would have Reedyville, but they would break it down into two, one out of county and one in county, which was kind of frustrating.
But, you know, I've always loved Cannon County. I mean, they're our brothers and sisters over there.
They're
and always
the real
have
deal,
been.
Too, man.
Oh, they really are. They really are. And what's the name of that doctor, this famous doctor? Is from Woodbury.
Dr. Rulon.
Dr. Rulon.
Leon
Rulon.
That's correct.
And you know, he takes me back in time because he is one of the few doctors that I know of. And I do know a few that really care so much about people. He's willing to go all out for those people. If he has to go to their home,
24
of course
hours
we were
day.
Of course we were talking about when he was in his prime. Now he's gotten older and doesn't have as much time to devote as he did in the past. But he's still involved in improving the life in Cannon County. And we were so happy to have him.
I'll tell you one thing that's interesting about Reedyville, too, if you didn't know it. Ken Beck did a feature story about a year and a half ago for us. Roy Rogers had two triggers. He had the trigger that he rode in the movies, the Palomino, and then he had the trick trigger that he used for the shows and all the prancing and dancing. Mm-hmm. Trigger Jr. was his name, and Trigger Jr. was sired in Reedyville. Mm-hmm. So Roy Rogers has a connection with Reedyville.
Roy Rogers has a good connection with Rutherford County, period.
Yes, yes.
And we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Ron Fryer and Dan Whittle.
Hey, Truman.
Hey.
This is old Cannon County Barber.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing good. You doing all right?
Oh, I'm doing great. Did you read Dan Whittle's story this Sunday?
Yeah, in fact, I was just sitting here. I was going to tell Ron that I display his cooler down here at the shop.
That's right.
And that's how I get to read it. Every time I go in there, I pick up the Cannon County cooler and read it.
Well, we appreciate that. What did you think of the column?
I thought it was good. I grew up kind of like that, and that's for real. That's the way it was.
Well, that's what we like to hear. You know, when you give Dan room to write, you want to make sure that you get validation on the topic.
Yeah, I grew up there in Cannon County.
And I tell you
good
what,
place to grow up.
My Cannon County people have been so good neighbors to me and everything. I just love Woodbury people. They're just fine people.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of history, Short Mountain history, Civil War history.
Yeah.
And now they've even got legal moonshine on Short Mountain.
Soon to.
Was it ever historical. Illegal?
Well, it was never uncommon, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's been a lot of it up there over the years.
Yes, and, it sure have.
And, Truman, I wanted to ask Ron a question. I've always gotten his the post, you know?
Yes, sir.
And but I haven't got it in a long time. I'm just wondering if you still deliver it all over town.
We, I would imagine back in February, January of 2010, they pulled it back down and pulled some of the delivery areas back in. And so, no, it's not delivered all over.
Yeah.
We're trying to get it so that we have distribution points where you can pick it up, but it's not delivered to everyone, no.
Yeah, I live over off DeJarnet at Huntington Subdivision.
Okay, I remember that was an area that was pulled back before I got here.
Oh, was it?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
I just wondered. I always enjoyed it.
Well, we'll try to get you a copy as soon as we can, but be sure and pick one up in town at a store or a restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to have one delivered at your shop so all the rest of us that go over there and get our haircuts can read it.
Well, if I get a hold of one, I would bring it up here.
Give us a call at the post. Call me whenever you get a chance. I'll see about getting one delivered out there to you.
Okay.
869-0800.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate it. And you're doing a good job. And you have to watch your host there, Truman. He's liable to get you in trouble.
Amen.
There's no question.
He's got me in trouble several times.
Amen.
That's my duty.
Okay. Good talking to you, fellas.
Me too, Bobby. And we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Ron Fryer and Dan Whittle. Welcome.
Dan, this is Don Witherspoon.
Hey!
I wanted to ask you to make a plug for the Murfreesboro Bicentennial and the military committee that you're serving on. I'll hang up and listen.
Is that you?
Actually, that's me.
That's
well, wake up, Dan.
I thought he was talking to you personally. We are, as part of the Bicentennial celebration,
mm-hmm.
MTSU's got their big celebration. Murfreesboro's got their big celebration. And we're making plans to salute the military history of our community. And that's a big thing from... York VA Medical Center mm-hmm. to Stones River Battlefield history. Mm-hmm. History lives here, and
it
so
does.
We're honored to be a part of that. So I'm glad he brought that.
I had the Witherspoons on a week or two ago, and they were such delightful people. They really are, and so knowledgeable and willing to pour themselves into. To anything that has to do with MTSU or Murfreesboro or the community, and all I have to do is just mention their names, and everybody that I run into knows them very, very well.
They do, and Mrs. Witherspoon has quite the military heritage in that her father was a POW to the Japanese in the Philippines, mm-hmm. and died as such, and she has researched all the history, and it's made one of the finest, most intriguing stories that mm-hmm. I ever wrote.
You know, we're talking about history here, but when you bring up the present and the future, you guys are working hard to help the veterans right now on a special project that you have right now, and it's called the Fisher House.
We're talking miracles.
Yes.
Regina Nelson and I just returned from a trip as part of the Fisher House team to mm-hmm. build a Fisher House at York VA Medical Center. We're going to break ground next spring. It's mm-hmm. our ground already been designated out at York. Mm-hmm. We went to Fort Campbell and visited with, I guess, 10 amputee war veterans from mm-hmm. Afghanistan and Iraq. I have no problems. I have health issues, but I have no real problems. After meeting these dynamic young men and women and to see their positive attitude and then to see the beauty of the Fisher House as it is in relation to their family, their medical care. There's more to medical care than just medicine. Having their families here, which the Fisher House will make available here for Tennessee veterans, that's better than medication a lot of times. And these soldiers impacted our lives, and it's just miracles. And we had with us Regina, mm-hmm. and we had a Gold Star mom, mm-hmm. Joyce Mount. And when she and this soldier, staff sergeant, who was hit by two mortars in March 2006, it blew him up, of course. He's had over 190 surgeries mm. that he knows of. He doesn't know how many he had while he was in a coma for all those months. And the story about that, of course, was featured this week in the Murfreesboro Post. And but we're talking miracles here, and that's one of the reasons, they're the reasons that we are so motivated to raise funds for the Fisher House to be built at York VA Medical Center.
And you know, we need to keep those people in mind all the time and not push them out, because that's an individual that's going to be paying for that his whole life. Right. He's never going to have the quality of life that you and I have had. And it's simply because he was out there fighting for us. I mean, if you can't take part of something for people like that, there has got to be something wrong. You have to be made of stone.
We're not patriots unless we take care of the veterans and their families.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And to think, we're sitting here today, free press, setting a radio station, broadcasting out live, Freedom of America. Mm-hmm. These soldiers are paying the price that we're able to sit here today and do what we're doing. We're not getting shot at.
Yeah.
They are.
Right. One correction. That article that Dan's talking about on this individual is scheduled to run this coming Sunday.
Okay.
So it's in the upcoming edition. He's written it, and we've got it scheduled to run Sunday.
You know, when I was in Panama City the last time, they had a special parade for the vets that had been harmed. And as they came by, they gave everybody flags that wanted to take part in it. So we were alongside the road, and everybody was waving their flags and thanking them. And I did not see one veteran go by that did not have tears in his eyes with emotion and appreciation for those people that were thanking them for the price that they paid for us.
What I saw at Fort Campbell, I was unable to sleep for two nights. If it doesn't touch your heart, you're stone dead.
Yeah, Regina told me that really caught her heart when she went with you over there and to see some of the things that she saw. And it really revved her up, because she's thinking of all these special things that she can do to help you guys as far as the Fisher House.
She's going to be our Murfreesboro Dynamo, no doubt about it. Yeah. She's our newest volunteer, and we're excited.
I want to let you know that the last part of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb, they provide themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And I want to let you know that when you purchase a vehicle from Stan McNabb, whether it's new or used, you will have oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle.
My name is Tim Schott. I'm the founder of Bondware.com. Does your business website work as hard as you do? Bondware gives your business the tools you need for an online presence. We offer a variety of services such as bulk email marketing, e-commerce solutions, and custom web design. Bondware is located on John Wright's Boulevard, just past Sam's Club in Murfreesboro. Give us a call at 333-7775. Our packages start at $25 a month. Sign up for a free trial on Bondware.com and use promo code RADIO for $50 off your initial setup cost.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Are you thinking about retirement living for yourself or a loved one? Think Adams Place in Murfreesboro. Retirement and assisted living, rehabilitation, and long-term care are available on their picturesque campus. Think it's too expensive? Think again. Adams Place Assisted Living starts as low as $100 a day. If you need a vacation, take advantage of assisted living's respite care for your loved one. Adams Place Retirement Community in Murfreesboro. Senior living at its finest.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
So, when you were talking about the Hall of Fame and while you guys were talking, I got to thinking about some of the people that worked here at WGNS. And we'll get to my conversation after we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hello.
Dan?
Yes.
This is Millie Evans. Can you hear me?
I do, Millie. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, and this is a little off the subject, but in a sense it's not. I wanted to say that you are such a great reporter, and I think about you so many times. You may or may not remember the Miss Davis case way down towards Smyrna on Baker Road many years ago.
Yes, I do.
And you were such, you are a outstanding reporter. She had so much report, TV and et cetera, you know, because she had so many dropped animals and horses and all. She had been a reporter for, one of the outstanding secretaries in Nashville for years for the largest law firm. And then somehow when she retired, she got involved in just trying to save every animal. And, of course, we know you can't save every one of them, and people took advantage of her. And anyway, we were unfortunately going through the courts with the courts knowing what we were doing, that we were going to hopefully get her to give up the animals, you know, and et cetera. And I never will forget it. It was raining and cold, and, of course, we were all heartbroken. And I'd had a call from her sister-in-law the night before saying, please help us. She sells the shoes that they even would buy her, you know, to buy food for the animals. And it was such a sad situation. And you came, of course, now, like all reporters would, you came with your pad and all. And I met you at her fenced yard, and I said, Dan, don't you think she suffered enough? I said, please take your pad and go back to Murfreesboro. And you looked at me, and you just said one word, Millie, I will. I won't ever forget it, Dan. That's a true reporter.
Thank you, Millie. And I remember that case very well. Very emotional time.
I can't hear you, Dan, but if you would, please tell Truman that I enjoy his show and listen to it every day that I'm in the kitchen in the afternoon. But I can't hear you. I don't know if it's my connection or what. But thank you so much, and I remember always will remember you for that.
All
bye.
Right, Millie. Thank you.
Thank you, Millie. And actually, we turned off his audio, Dan, while you were on. His head was blowing up. And I remember another situation where Dan was involved kind of emotionally. Do you remember when we had a movie star that was here that we had to serve a paper on years ago?
Yes, that's the day Zsa Zsa whipped me. gave a personal whipping to the whittle body, yes.
That was another time you came back without a story, wasn't it?
Well, I wanted to go on workman's comp, but you wouldn't allow it anyway. But, you know, to be a large lady, she could move fast like a fullback and slam me up against the wall. In fact, one of your deputies saved my life.
Well, that wasn't the first time they saved your life. Well, we've had a great show. I mean, we really have. And of course, the time has ran out, and it always goes too fast. But we have such interesting people like you guys, and everybody wants to hear the inside story of where the news comes from, and where we're heading to the future with it. And you know, in local newspapers, I think the future still looks good. I think that
it's very bright.
Yes, and I think that there's still a lot of people out there that had rather have that newspaper in their hands, especially when we're talking about local newspapers, than pulling it up on the internet or well, whatever.
Only the Cannon Courier and the Murfreesboro Post knows about Catholic commode lids.
Yeah, and I'm awful glad that we brought that up. They'll be talking about that all week long, I'm sure.
That's true.
Well, we had another great day, and we're going to have Mike West on tomorrow.
That'd be great. That'll be a good show.
And you guys know him well. He used to work for the
Daily News Journal.
Yeah, I keep forgetting the name.
And the Murfreesboro Post.
Yeah, yeah, he did work for the Post.
He worked for the Rutherford Courier. He worked for the Murfreesboro Press. He worked for the Daily News Journal, and he worked for the Murfreesboro Post.
Mm-hmm. And I call him Mr. Historian. He knows history.
He does. He's very bright. I think he was one of the Who's Who people
he
at
is.
One time.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.